Let's pray. Father God, we do worship your holy name, O Lord God. We pour out our hearts. We bow before you, O Lord God, for you are holy. We cannot stand in your presence, O God, because of our sin, but for Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sin, O God, we can not only stand, but run into your presence. Father, we are your church. And we say that with humility. Not because we are proud in ourselves or what we've accomplished. We've accomplished nothing, Lord. We're not your church because of anything we've done. But you, O God, in love and mercy, have made us your church, have adopted us as your children, O Lord God, when we believe in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you. And we ask now, O Lord God, that you would help us to see Jesus. Show us the Master, O God. Show us our Lord, O Lord God. That we may follow him, Father. Work within our minds and within our hearts now, we pray, O Holy Spirit, that your great purposes would be accomplished within us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I encourage you, if you did not get a chance this week, to attend a 6 Steps to Loving Your Church small group. But it's not too late. If you missed one, if you missed the first one this week, it's okay. We still have some books, some workbooks left for you if you'd like that. Again, just a reminder, we're meeting Wednesday evenings at 6:30. And we're meeting Friday mornings at 9:30, and then also Sunday mornings at 8:30. Sunday mornings are in the youth room downstairs at the very end of the hallway, so I encourage you to pick a group and to come on out as you are able to. And if you did miss it this past week and you'd like to catch up on the video, I can let you have, you know, you can borrow the video to watch that and catch up there also. Appreciate some of you have been taking the first session, the first week's lesson was talking about, which is not just to come to church, but how do we come to church? Expectantly, coming to church not just to receive, but coming to church to serve, to love one another. And for us, they encouraged us to be praying this week about where we're sitting, and not just for the physical seat part of it, but it's for who the Lord would lead us to. Who is it that we could be blessing? What conversations will the Lord lead us to following church this morning, whether it's here or as we go about our day? What will the Lord be leading us into? How can we serve one another and love one another here as part of God's family? Well, this morning, as we begin to look at session 2 of our 6-week study on 6 Steps to Loving Your Church, we want to ask the question, why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? Why do we come here? I suspect there's many different answers for us. We come to church because what we do on Sundays. We come to church, that's what we do as a family. We come to church because my parents made me. We come to church because it's Mother's Day and Mom really gets blessed when we come to church. We come to church because my friends are here. Come to church because we want to meet with God. We want to encounter God. Why do we come to church? We'll look at a passage later on that helps to answer that more directly. But first, I want to spend our time focusing on a passage that demonstrates for us why we come to church. Please open your Bibles to the book of John, Turn to chapter 13, John chapter 13. We've seen over the years, of course, and if you read your Bible, you see it all the time. Certainly as you read the Gospel of John and the epistles to John, that we are called as Christians to love one another. It's one of the most foundational truths of what it means to be a Christian is to love one another. It's one of the last things Jesus said to us, to the church, before he went to the cross. Love one another. It's difficult for us at times to understand how we go about loving one another, what that means to love one another. We saw last week that we're called to serve and to love one another, no matter who we are, that there's no ranking among Christians, that there's no parts that are greater to the body, and there's no parts that are lesser to the body, that we as the body need every single part, every single one of us. God has intentionally built us together this way. There's no mistakes. The eye is not more important than the ear. The hand is not more important than the foot. And we all are to work together to love one another. How do we do that? This morning, Jesus is going to give us a command as he illustrates this very, very powerfully in serving one another. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 12. This is as Jesus has gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. Let me read verses 2 through 4 first, and then I'll go down to verse 12. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Down to verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? Jesus asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. This is God's word. Jesus is calling us to love one another. And one way we manifest that, one way that becomes real, is we serve one another humbly, sacrificially, serve one another. This passage in verses 3 through 5, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. And I love the way that this passage is laid out here, the way it's interspersed with what's going on with Judas Iscariot. Throughout this whole passage here, things with Judas are woven in. And it almost seems like, you know, well, what should we be focusing on? What's going on? What Satan is doing through Judas? Or should we be focusing on what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples here by washing their feet? And maybe we should have just two sermons and kind of separate, you know, the verses out and pull them apart. But that's not the context in which it's written. Fascinating here, I believe that in verse 2, the evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And Jesus knows this. Jesus knows what Satan is about to do. Then verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power. He had come to God and He was returning to God. Then verse 4 starts with, so. Therefore, because He knew all these things, now pause there. Wouldn't it seem more likely, more natural? This is always a dangerous question to ask, I know. But, if you were Jesus, right, and you knew what Satan was about to do, and you knew, at the same time, that the Father had given all power to you, what would we do? I would probably say, now is the time to destroy Satan. Now is the time to deal him a decisive blow. All power is mine. Satan is going to work something horrible, and I have all authority and all power. I will demonstrate that power. I will exert the almighty power of God right now and deal Satan a decisive blow. At the very moment where Jesus is aware of his power, he washes the feet of his disciples. Knowing that he had all power under him, knowing that he had come from the Father and was going to return to the Father, verse 4, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed his disciples' feet. That's no accident how those are put together there. I think most of us know or have heard before that the washing of feet in this day was something that a slave would do, right? So feet in this time, and feet through all times, get dirty. But particularly in this time here, okay, feet would get really dirty, right? Typically walking around, not on paved roads or paved sidewalks, not driving in cars. Dirt and dust and the sanitary facilities of towns, really not very modern as we have here, so things don't get flushed away underground as nicely, as they do now. So there's more stuff kind of around, as you're walking around. And so no servant would have to wash someone's feet. It'd be left to like the lowest slave. It was a lowly job. You would never want to do that. You would never volunteer to do that. Maybe if Jesus had sat here and said to his disciples, all authority and power is given to me. I have come from the Father and I go to the Father. Therefore, serve me and wash my feet. It's possible that disciples, out of love for Jesus, would have done that. They certainly wouldn't have washed one another's feet. Never do that. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who created everything, all of us, he is the one who washes his disciples, his followers, his servants' feet. Instead of exerting his power to destroy Satan in the way that we would expect, he humbles himself to wash his disciples' feet. Now, I know that some denominations practice this very regularly, and some churches, we've in the past and many, many years ago, have done this as part of a Monday, Thursday service. A foot washing is part of a service. I think those can be very beautiful, very wonderful. I don't think that Jesus intends them to be institutionalized here like communion. or baptism. It's not spoken of in the same way here. And, you know, I don't want us to, you know, there's always a danger of thinking if we just do something like this as part of a service, we've checked that off our list is, yep, we're serving one another. But I also don't want us to just assume it's purely metaphorical. Jesus just didn't give us the parable. He actually washed their feet. And the point here being, he served them so humbly. So humbly. And that's what he goes on to teach them in verses 12 and 13. The teacher, the Lord, serves. He serves. He serves those who are below him. Verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place, and said, "Do you understand what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so." He's not saying, "Oh, don't call me that. I'm not." No, he is Lord. That is what I am. And the Lord is the one who has served his disciples. We're just meant to be struck. In fact, we skipped over the verses where Peter, when Jesus comes up to him and goes to wash his feet, Peter is flabbergasted and says, "No way, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. That is not right." And Jesus says, "You must be, let me wash your feet, or you have no part in me." But the outrage of the fact that it is the Lord, it is the teacher, it is Jesus. But he's teaching us here that what is the nature of Jesus? He serves. Let's let that sink in. Our Lord, our King, serves. It's not a model we see very much in other areas of our life, is it? Think of if you work at a company, you're CEO. Is the CEO's mentality, "I'm here to serve the janitors. I'm here to serve every person of the organization." Is that typically the idea we have? Not. We use some of that language with our political leaders, and yet we often, because of sinful human nature, see that that's not the case, that many are not serving others, but serving themselves. We do that in our own sinfulness too. That even in our acts to try to serve someone else, we end up always wanting to serve ourselves, to play ourselves first. But the model we have here is that Jesus serves others. And in a way that does not try to protect his dignity and pride and his, you know, how he looks, he puts all that aside. And the teacher serves. We have a problem with this, I think, in our life and in our world. Author, Professor D.A. Carson says, "One of the ways human pride manifests itself in a stratified society is in refusing to take the lower role." So we live in a world where there's hierarchy. Now, we don't have caste systems, per se, as solidly as someone like India does or something like that. But we have different ways that we rate, right? I mean, just from the playground up, we're always comparing ourselves to see where we rank, whether it's physically with sports or intellectually or popularity. We're always kind of seeing where we rank and seeing who's above us and who's below us. And we relate very differently to people, whether it's formally at a workplace or just, again, on a playground, how we relate to each other. And one of the ways that our pride, what D.A. Carson is saying here, our pride comes out is that we generally are unwilling to serve in a lowly way. To serve those who are below us and to take a role that is lower than us. I remember when I was in business, on a trip to visit a client site, and one of the main day-to-day contacts, a man who worked for me, had just resigned. He was going to a different job, different company. And it was my client's main contact. I mean, I was traveling with the CEO of the company at that time, and the CEO said to me, "Well, Scott, you have to pick up the slack now. You have to do so much more now here." And I balked at that. I'm like, that's below my role. I was the senior person here, and that was below. And I really balked at that. That was my sinful pride exerting itself, saying, that's beneath my dignity. I don't need to do that. I shouldn't have to do that. Jesus shouldn't have to wash the feet of his disciples. Jesus does wash the feet of his disciples. And he's not grumbling, going, "I can't believe I got to do this. Peter, your feet are so bad. My, do you have any..." No. I feel like I've been seeing this theme, this truth, this reality, more and more over the past few months as we came through Matthew and even into last week's a text from 1 Corinthians 12. And again here, that pride is one of the most dangerous things in the life of a Christian. And conversely, humility is one of the most important things in our life as followers of Jesus Christ. We can serve one another with a pride, right? With a kind of a chip. "Huh, look how humble I am. Look what a good servant I am. I'm doing more than anybody else." Right? And we can have that kind of pride about it. But the heart of Jesus here, the humility of the King of Kings, humility to serve one another out of love means to serve one another humbly. Humbly. Jesus humbly, lovingly, willingly takes on the lower role here. The teacher serves. And if the teacher serves, what do we draw from that? Because the teacher serves, therefore the disciples serve. We, his followers, serve. Verses 14 through 16. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If Jesus, therefore, washes our feet and humbly serves us, therefore we, the followers of Jesus, cannot say, that's too good for me. Or, I will serve some people but not others. Or, I will serve in some ways but not others." In the first churches that I went to when I was a Christian, I became a Christian when I was up at college at the University of New Hampshire, and went to one of God's special churches, Durham Evangelical Church. Beautiful place where I came to know the Lord and some of my formative years as a Christian there. There was a man there who I didn't get to know him, but heard of him because I didn't really see him very much. There's a man there who was the janitor. He went to church there, and he was a janitor, and he was just always in the background, kind of just serving. He was the first one there, would set up, and he'd come, and he'd clean up, and he would, you know, take care of everything. And I learned from others in the church that he used to be one of the elders of the church. But he felt that he was getting too prideful in that. And so for himself, as a way to watch his own heart and to be more like Christ, he resigned from all his leadership positions and willingly took on the janitor role. Not to show, "Look what I've done." He didn't even want to talk about it. It was others who had to let me know about it. And he was just truly looking for ways to humbly serve as Christ serves, not trying to find ways to be more influential, not trying to find ways to be more powerful or more important, but just to be quieter, to be less seen for the sake of his own heart and his walk with Jesus. He saw that his master humbly served, and so he structured his life that he would humbly serve other believers also. We see Jesus doing something that is so lowly. Therefore, let us do something that is so lowly, that our heart attitude towards one another is to be, how can I serve? Now, we all serve in different ways. We all have different gifting. Right? As Jesus put the body together, we looked at last week, not all of us are eyes. Not all of us are ears. Not all of us can sit and have the gift of compassion that can sit and listen. Not all of us have the gift of hospitality that can invite folks into your home or can make people feel welcome. Not all of us have gifts of teaching. Not all of us. There's different gifts for the body. There's different ways we serve. But let's also not think, well, that's not my gifting, so I won't serve in that way. Let's not fall into that trap either. But let's understand that there's going to be different ways that we serve one another. But let's never think, I can't do that because that's beneath me. We see early on in the book of Acts that the disciples, hearing some problems going on with the food distribution to some of the Greek Jewish widows. And so they sit and they pray and they realize, well, it wouldn't be right for us to focus our energies on that. And so they call apart deacons who would be responsible for that, because the disciples saw that their role was in prayer and preaching and teaching. That was the role that God had called them to. They didn't say, serving food is below me. That wasn't their heart at all. So there was a difference there of calling, but the same humble attitude, humble heart existed no matter in what the way was in which we served. Does that make sense? We may serve in different ways, but however we serve, let us never. We may say, I'm not called to serve in that way right now, right here in this situation, but let it never be because anything in our heart says, that's below me. As we serve one another. Well, Jesus then closes our passage this morning in verse 17. It says, disciples are those who don't just know the word, but disciples are those who do the word. In fact, he promises a blessing on those who do the word, who here specifically serve humbly one another. Verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So first of all, he expects us not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word, right? James chapter 1, verse 22. That we are not to be not just hearers of the word. Not just to hear the word and say, yep, that's good. That is a good point, Jesus. We should serve one another. Thank you very much. Time to go home now. And then don't do it. In James it says, it's like someone looking into a mirror and going, that's what I look like. And then turning away and forgetting what you look like right away. To just be hearers of the word and not doers of the word. And so we always have a danger. We say, yep, we should serve one another. That's a good principle. Or we think, I hope my neighbor's listening to that sermon. I hope my neighbor's listening to that passage. They should really serve one another. Maybe they should be serving me, I think, is what I really, that'd be good to do that. That's what they need to be doing. Right? But that Jesus says, He doesn't just say, listen, go do it. I told you to do it. Do it. He pronounces a what for the doers. a blessing. We love the idea of being blessed, don't we? We love that. And we should. We should. Desire to be blessed by God. And Jesus says, if you humbly serve one another, putting aside your pride, putting aside, if we humbly serve one another, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. That's upside down, isn't it? Right? Don't we really think, man, I'll be blessed if people serve me? That will feel really good. Man, if I get and people do things for me, then I will be happy. Jesus says, no, actually, you will be blessed if you serve one another. Do we believe that? I mean, we gotta take verse 17 by faith and go and try Jesus and try Him as Word. We've got to take this and hold on to this and say, it doesn't make sense to me, maybe. It's not the way I would naturally think things are, but Jesus says it, so I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to go do it. Go and be doers of the Word. And His Word here is, wash one another's feet. Serve one another. Why do we come to church? And there are many answers to that question. It's not just a one. It's not like the right answer or the wrong answer. No. But one enormous part of coming to church, and not just coming on Sunday morning, that's the kind of manifestation of it. We're picturing, focusing to try to put some flesh to it here, but being part of the church is to humbly serve one another. That's why God, before time began, decided that you and I would be here together, so that we would serve humbly one another. Hebrews chapter 10, in closing. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23-25. The author of Hebrews said, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised, the Lord our God, is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is God's Word. Why are we to gather? That we may encourage one another. That we may spur each other on in love. That we may mobilize each other and encourage and act towards good works towards one another. That's why we gather together. To love one another. To serve one another. Let us, brothers and sisters, serve one another in the manner, likewise, as Jesus serves us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, our pride, it shows up in so many ways. And Father, I pray that we would be like You, Lord Jesus. That You would give us a humility and a love for one another, that we, belonging to You, O Lord God, would wash each other's feet, would serve in the ways in which You have called us to serve, that You would enable us by the power of Your Holy Spirit to humbly wash each other's feet. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for showing us the way. Help us, Father, in a very practical way to see how You would call us to do that today and this week. Please show us, Father, how we can serve each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.